Wonderful. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from, again, from the Gospel of Luke, since we've been in Luke for quite some time now. We're up to Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. If you're following in your Pew Bible, that is on page 1013 of the Pew Bible. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together, and he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Well, I'm sorry, there's more to it. I stopped a little short. It says, suppose a woman who had 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep her house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God again bless his reading of his holy word. As I told the children, Jesus depicts God as the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to seek and save the lost one. And then we have the woman who loses a coin, turns her house inside out until she finds it. And Jesus says this to the Pharisees, remember, and to all the religious officials. He's saying, this is our God, the one who relentlessly, patiently seeks out the lost in order to bring them back to himself. Of course, it's the very reason that God sent Jesus, so that every soul on our planet might come into relationship with God in Christ. I just want to pause and talk a little bit about how we, the church, so often forget that is our charter. That's our reason for being, is to work with God to seek and to save the lost, to bring home the lost sheep. And we can be about so many other things, but that is what our charter is set on, that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, and that he wants us to tell the good news and to bring those sheep back home. Now, Jesus describes one more thing in these parables. He talks about the intensity with which God loves us. And how is that intensity portrayed? There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. In other words, there is a party given in heaven when one sinner turns their lives around, and we can have a part in that. You ever wonder, you know, is there anything you can do to really affect heaven? Yes. Help one sinner, one sheep, get back home, and you've caused a party in heaven. It is hard for us as Presbyterians to think about this. Well, our denomination has always been depicted as the frozen chosen, the people who are quiet, and we don't do a whole lot as far as evangelizing and going out on the street and witnessing. Our witness comes in the form of giving or of charitable organizations. And that's a powerful witness. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to downplay it. But there's something to be said about saving one soul, finding one person. I saw it enacted when I was in Charleston, West Virginia. Charleston, for some reason, is the place where many homeless in the whole nation come. It's supposed to have, it's got a microclimate that is milder than West Virginia as a whole. It's mild, a mild climate, and the government there is generous toward the homeless. And so they come there by the droves, hundreds. Well, there was one who chose First Presbyterian as his home. He slept in a basement doorway. If you can imagine, there are steps, and then there's a landing, and there was a doorway that went into the basement of the church. Well, that's where he slept in the coldest, nastiest weather. That's where you'd find Jimmy Dale. Now, Jimmy Dale was a learning disabled person, had a really rough life. But somewhere along the line, a church member found him. And instead of calling the police and having him hauled off to jail or a shelter or whatever, they invited Jimmy Dale in. They gave him a cup of coffee, fed him, looked after him, made sure he had a warmer place to stay the next night. And Jimmy Dale, the kindness was not lost on him. The love that was expressed was not lost on him. He became a fixture in the church. When I first came to the church, he sat down near the front row on the right side, and he didn't speak very well. He was very difficult to understand. But when it came prayer time, and we did as we do here, we take the microphone and we have people give prayer requests. Well, Jimmy Dale would usually have at least 6 to 10 prayer requests. They were very difficult to understand, but we all tuned our ears and tried to understand. And always one of them was Baltimore Ravens, if we have any Ravens fans. Jimmy Dale was quite a... But what grew out of this one person that the church adopted, they adopted Jimmy Dale, and he wanted for nothing. When he needed a walker, the church got him a walker. And they, it inspired the church, since there were so many homeless people. Some folks in the church started a community or a group that would raise money to build homes for the homeless. They built a high-rise apartment complex that Jimmy Dale moved into along with hundreds of other people who had been living on the street. And of course, this has to be funded, and there had to be a resident social worker to help these people. There had to be, you know, all of these things, but all stem from one person noticing this homeless man sleeping in the stairwell of the church. It all grew out of that one act of kindness. And Jimmy Dale was converted. He became a Christian. To this very day, I'm sure he goes to that church every day. He can't walk there anymore. He can't ride a bus anymore. So, you know, transportation is provided from the high rise where he lives. And this story is replayed throughout our church life and throughout the Christian church's history. That the church can be and is a sanctuary for the lost sheep. And it's hard for us to categorize, well, who are the lost sheep? Well, in Jimmy Dale's case, here was a man who was bereft. He had none of the skills that he needed to survive in society. And had the church not intervened in his life, he would have been found dead in that stairwell at some point or another. That's how bad it got. But the fact is, he's living and thriving now, and because of the church ministering to him, many others, hundreds of others, are ministered to as well. And how is that? How can that be? It's because the church has always been a sanctuary for the lost sheep. The church is always that beacon that draws the lost sheep and shows them the way home. I read the story of a Baptist church, where it's similar to Jimmy Dale's story, where this homeless man, Donnie, came to the church, and he came one morning when the church was welcoming new members, and Donnie was probably, he smelled of alcohol and sweat and all of the things that, you know, we find pretty repulsive. But the church still let him in. They fed him breakfast. And as he was sitting there, one of the women who was joining the church said, isn't that a beautiful sanctuary? Aren't we so blessed to have a beautiful sanctuary to worship in? And Donnie said, I don't know about the place where you worship, but I know about the sanctuary you give me. I don't play favorites. I love you all. Now, Donnie was probably not even sober when he said that. But the people of the church heard him. We can be, even personally, a sanctuary for people. You know, I pointed out to the young people that from Psalm 14, where it says, you know, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And we look upon fools sometimes, and we don't suffer fools very well, right? We know the truth, and the truth has set us free, but we don't suffer the fools. But Jesus is saying, God does. And God calls us to call in the fool and demonstrate to him just what God intends for his or her life in the world. In other words, we're to love these people as smelly as they might be, even in their drunkenness, in the depths of their sin and degradation. We're to love them, to make a place at our table for them, and work alongside of God to seek and save the lost. As a pastor for around 40 years now, I have seen how God works ahead of us if we're working with God. People will stumble into the church and they say, I've never come to a church before in my life, but something led me here. And I see that as the power of the Holy Spirit bringing in that lost sheep. And how we react is how God will judge us. Do we seek and save the lost just as our Lord and Savior did? Do we speak for those who have been most dehumanized, for those who have little voice, little clout in the world? Do we welcome sheep of all varieties? Do we look for that lost coin with all of our hearts and minds? Or we can choose to be the dullest Pharisees. I think we all want to seek the other. I'm going to end with another beautiful story that I encountered in my research here. There was a memoir written by Neil White back in 1993 where he recounted his 18-month federal prison sentence for bank fraud. Now, Neil was not sent to any ordinary prison. He was sent to a leprosarium, a place where lepers were kept in Carville, Louisiana. He and the other prison inmates, many of them convicted of similar white-collar crimes, shared a building space with the last people in America who were disfigured by leprosy. In the early days of his stay, Neil did everything he could to avoid being near the Hansen's diseased, that's the leprosy outcasts. He kept his distance. He even held his breath if they came near to him. Over time, he befriended a number of them, however, and he came to admire their tenacity as they coped with the cruelty of their condition and the indifference of the world to their suffering. One evening, The lepers were holding an annual spring dance. Neil and another white-collar inmate were assigned to set up the tables and chairs and unload the sound equipment before the patient ballroom. The DJ began pumping music out of the speakers before Neil and his partner could finish and exit. The patients limped in and wheeled them in on their walkers and wheelchairs. And they came to the middle of the dance floor, and bandaged hands were lifted, and wheelchairs were shimmying, and disfigured faces were smiling. An elderly woman motioned for Neil and offered her his hand. And in a moment of joyful connection, Neil received her hand, which, despite dead nerves, felt soft and smooth. Suddenly, two more prison inmates snuck into the party and they danced among the patients. The first song ended, and the patients clapped as best they could. Suddenly, a loud shout brought the celebration to a screeching halt. From his wheelchair, a leper named Smeltzer declared, "You are not invited. No inmates at our party." The room fell silent, and the smiles disappeared. The moment of joy passed. "You are not welcome here," Smeltzer yelled. "Go on, get." And quietly, the four inmates lumber toward the exit. And as they pass through the door, an inmate looks at Neil and breaks the silence. "Good God, did we just get kicked out of a leper dance?" The good news is that in Christ's ballroom, there is space for everyone. For the clean, the healthy, the antiseptic, and for the religious non-lepers. And yes, there is a place for the dullest Pharisee, for the dirtiest of sinners. There is room for the most aimless and lost sheep and the most hidden of all coins. And always, remember, there's always rejoicing in heaven when a sinner turns and repents. Join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, help us to make room at the table for all sinners. Help us work with you to find the lost sheep and bring them in and help them to find a sanctuary here. Help us that the voiceless and the powerless might be heard and that we might be a champion through Jesus Christ for those who have need. May we shed our own power to exclude, recall that you shed your blood for us, and may the revelry that ensues be delightful in your sight. May we cause many parties in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.